What's up and welcome to Shop Sounds, a woodworking podcast about nothing. With myself, Nick Key of Key Woodworks, Jason Hibbs of Bourbon Moth, and Keith Johnson, better known as KJ Sawdust. All three of us are on YouTube, Instagram, and TikTok.
Gentlemen, so I was thinking, like, despite the fact that we text and message every day and talk every 2 weeks and watch your stories and Instagram, like, I still don't know what's going on with you guys. Feels like it's been forever. Jason,
yeah.
I just wanted to say congratulations while you're eating that giant bean burrito. Congratulations on the final launch of your skiff.
Final launch.
Thanks, man.
I love it.
It happened. I am eating a burrito, though. So I forgot that it was Friday today. Thought it was Thursday.
Yeah.
Nick, you texted about the podcast, and I was in line getting burritos. So.
Did you drive your... Oh,
did you drive,
you know,
no, you didn't drive the tank.
I was going to say, you did you... Yeah, did you take the tank? But the tank's gone.
Mm-hmm.
Nope. That's sad,
I only
man.
Take the tank every once in a while. But yeah, guys, I put the boat on the water.
Wow. I mean, even for me, who wasn't involved in this at all, I was just like overrun with emotion. Like just watching
it was
you
really
build
weird. You know, I was talking to Trent Presler, and he's been a huge help through this whole thing. I've been asking him a lot of different questions. And he like kind of warned me, like, just be prepared. When you put the boat on the water for the first time, it's like a really emotional experience.
Hmm.
And I kind of like, I don't know, I don't get super emotional, but I was surprised. Like I teared up a little bit. It was kind of this surreal thing. It's just weird to work on something that long and then you're on the river and it's so like peaceful and quiet. And
yeah.
You just can fully enjoy this thing that you've put so much of yourself into. It was pretty cool.
Well, I don't know who was chopping onions in my house when I was watching your video when you start talking about your grandma and naming boat. I was like, what has happened to me? I've become soft.
You suck.
I know. Well, and it's a little more emotional for me right now because, yeah, my grandma's 93. I knew a while ago that I wanted to name this boat after her. And then about a week ago, right when I'm getting to the painting, getting ready to put the name on, we found out that she's got COVID.
Mm.
And so she's been struggling with that for the last couple of weeks.
Oh,
and
man.
So I've just been thinking about her a lot and then stenciling her name on there. So yeah, it was special. But she's improved a lot. I think she's gonna be one of the ones that fights through this. So
that's good.
Oh, that's awesome.
Man.
Yeah.
Well.
All right. Well, let's first get some business out of the way. This episode is sponsored by our friends at Bits and Bits. And I think by now we can say we're friends, right? I mean, this very week, our lawyers tirelessly hammered out a one-year deal for Bits and Bits to be a sponsor of this podcast.
Yeah.
Nick, cue the audience applause. Thank you. Bravo. So basically, we're family now.
1 year. Was that?
That was perfect. That's
phenomenal.
Okay. Now, Bits and Bits takes the quality of Whiteside router and CNC bits, which are made right here in the US of A, and slathers on their own special Astra coating to make them even better. Now, this Astra coating, this devil's nectar, not only tastes great on baby back ribs, but it also allows for higher speeds and feed rates and extends the life of the bit by up to 3 times. Now, not only does Bits and Bits make Whiteside bits even better, they also make their own CNC bits. Now, that's pretty impressive because I can barely make my own lunch and these guys are making their own bits.
Mm.
So go check out all their offerings at bitsbits.com. I don't think you'll be disappointed. They have every bit you need, from 1/4 shank chamfers to 1/2 inch shank compression flush cut bits. And if you go to bitsbits.com and use coupon code morsels15, you can save up to 15%. Not up to, you save 15% off your next order.
You got a little too infomercial there for a second.
I really did. I was ready to throw in a ShamWow.
But wait, there's more.
There's always more.
Oh, but actually, but wait, there is more.
Oh, do tell.
They're wanting to do a giveaway coming up, aren't they?
Hmm. I did hear a little something about, so yeah, when MJ, who, you know, good friend now, MJ, mm-hmm. and a patron, when he stopped by, he did mention wanting to possibly do a giveaway. And here's the exciting part. They don't just want to give away some bits and some bits, but he also talked about throwing a little Festool stuff in there as well.
What?
So we're hammering out the details on that. Stay tuned. We will let you know.
Mm-hmm.
Can we enter the giveaway?
I was just gonna ask that.
I don't know about you guys, but I'm going to enter.
I'm going to enter under a false name.
There's going to be a first, a second, a third prize, and I just have a hunch it's going to be Nick, Keith, and myself.
Yeah, it's like a bachelor auction. You win one of us, a date with one of us.
That's right.
How disappointed they'll be.
Yeah, we're just the hedge fund managers this week.
Yeah. Stop.
What?
GameStop.
Oh, yeah. Knock.
And who's there?
What was the other one? AMC?
Oh. And I don't understand this. I mean, I don't want to get into this too much, but I looked up an article trying to describe and explain this whole GameStop thing and why people are mad and upset. And I read it three times and I still don't understand it. I called my friend who's like a pretty well-known like financial lawyer up in Portland. He explained it to me. I still do not understand. I don't understand the stock market. I don't get how it works.
Yeah, I don't either.
There, I said it. Whew, I've been pretending for a long time, and it just feels good to say that.
I've been pretending. As far as I can tell, like, these people, like, are, it's basically a giant casino up there, and they're betting that the stocks are going to go down, and they put all this money on the line, and then all these people banded together and bought the stocks, which makes them go up, and then all these people that have bet that they were going to go down have lost, like, $7 billion.
Well, you're right.
It's only $7 billion.
I know.
Yeah. Hmm. Bill Gates spends that much on bath tissue. So. Anyways, before we get too much farther, let's just get all the business out of the way. We've got some brand new patrons to share with you guys. We've got quite a few here. Let's just jump right in. We've got Daniel Langley. We've got Lisa. Now, I don't know if Lisa's like Kramer or it's just...
Well, Kramer has Kramer, a last Kramer. Name, though.
Well,
yeah. Well, Kramer is his last name.
We didn't find that out till later.
Right.
Or Lisa just didn't share her last name. But we have Lisa. We have Tim Boyle. We've got TK Punk Woodworking. Oh, that's his business name. I just thought that was a really... That's not his first name, is it? TK Punk?
That might be cool, though.
We got Fernando Polanya.
I'll that should be that. Done with an echo filter on there, Jason.
Polanya, yeah, yeah.
Fernando I don't have that up on my Polanya.
Right now. We've got Scott Henson, Martin Jacob, Ed Harrison, Joshua Derda.
I was just going to say, sound it out.
Is that right?
I think so.
Yeah.
Okay. And then we've got some new top tier patrons. We've got Ben Fuller at August Trails Design, but it's August_Trails_Designs.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And then we've got Ryan Kupstas. Man, some of these names are killing me. That's right? Kupstas?
Kupstas?
Yeah, sure.
Kupstas.
Kupstas.
Kupstas. Anyways, Ryan. And he's at, it's either Cups or Coops Custom Builds.
With a K.
K-U-P-S Custom Builds. Yes.
Yeah. K-U-P-S Custom Builds. So you can find them. And then, of course, we got some returning top tier patrons that might find their way into the show at some point as we go here. So that's it. Business out of the way. Back to the podcast.
Yes.
Here we go.
Thank you, patrons. We do appreciate it.
That is amazing. Thank you very much.
Back to my burrito.
That's a two-hander, literally.
Oh, man, that's a monster.
Take two hands. It's a burrito log. Yeah, like a fire starter log.
So everyone thinks it's weird, but I always get the sausage breakfast burrito, which has eggs, potato, sausage, and then I add rice, Spanish rice to it.
What's wrong with
that? Weird about that.
I don't know. People think it's weird, the egg and the rice together, but it's really good.
Have they ever had pork fried rice that's got egg in it? Or have they gone to a hibachi place?
Yeah, any hibachi grill.
Egg in there?
Yeah. Thank you, guys.
Right.
No problem. We're here to support you.
I actually went to a hibachi grill this past week for lunch. It was amazing. And then I think because I was there, Instagram heard I was there, and I got served up ads for Japanese barbecue sauce.
Oh, my God. Oh, is that what you...
Then I purchased said Japanese barbecue sauce off of Instagram, and it came this week. And I have literally been putting it on everything. Like when you said,
what's the difference? What, like Japanese barbecue sauce versus regular barbecue?
I don't
what's
know
the difference. It's, they put like teriyaki soy sauce in there or something.
Yeah, it's like a teriyaki soy sauce mix, but it's so good. It's like barbecue sauce, like American barbecue sauce, is thick, and it would like, you know, stay on top of whatever meat. This would run right off, but man, it's so good. It's ridiculous.
They got you hooked.
I mean, yesterday I came home and made
not sponsored.
I won't say the name, but I made like a frozen pack of pigs in a blanket, and then I used that Japanese barbecue sauce on it.
I was like, I don't care. Dipping them in there, you're pouring it on your cereal.
Yeah. Oh, I was like, I don't care. Goodness. It's so good. Tastes-
All right. Well, I don't know where to go from that.
Japanese barbecue sauce.
Nowhere to go but down.
Mm. No, I've had a huge week this week. I've gotten so many crazy things.
I really want to know what substantiates a huge week in the life of Nick Keys.
You do want to know or don't want to
know? Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He just wants time to eat his burrito. So I do want to talk.
Well, I mean, first of all, I get this crazy large package in the mail from somebody named James Michaud.
Big
shout out. And it's a huge metal sign of the Shop Sounds logo.
Did you know he was doing that?
Yeah, I did. I didn't know it was coming this week, but he sent me a picture of it.
The first thing I thought when you opened that up was, where the heck is mine, James?
He's making mine first.
What makes Nick so special?
I don't know. Maybe because I
handle
all
the logistics.
Well, Nick
answers his DMs. Unlike
yeah, because I run the DMs. I was the first to respond. But no, I opened that thing up. I was just like, holy cow, this thing's amazing. It's every bit of like 3 feet in diameter.
He said it was 24 inches.
Oh, is it 24? Okay.
Oh, is that you just overestimate size by 12 inches?
Yeah, my 6 inches is a good foot.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a typical American. That's how I measure things.
Okay. Anyways.
But did he cut that on a CNC plasma table?
Yes. Or was it?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. That's amazing.
Yeah, on a CNC plasma or plasma CNC. Which one is it? Is it plasma CNC?
Yeah.
Jason, you know all things CNC. What is it?
Or was it a water jet CNC?
I think it was plasma.
Well, my CNC was a shelf that
I set things on. Table.
Yeah.
It's a beer coaster, a giant beer coaster.
Mine was a shelf CNC.
Giant coaster. yeah. But...
So what are you going to do with that thing? Are you just going to hang it raw like it is, or are you going to mount it on anything?
Well, that's what I'm contemplating. Like, I think it's too nice to just hang it up as is. Like, I think I want to like accentuate it and maybe you know, show its curves off a little bit, you know?
Yeah.
I think I'm going to do like a little bit of a standoff and then do some LEDs inside of it. So that it will backlight it. And then obviously you can get all kinds of LED kits that change lights or change colors now. So I could do whatever color, and you know, I think that would look sick. Just have a nice
really
backlit
cool.
hanging above
it.
Your bed,
like an on air.
Oh yeah.
Kind of thing.
I could put it like right over my shoulder here in my office and turn it on when we record. That'd be cool.
That way just the three of us see it.
Right, so
since we don't, since no one sees the video recording,
yeah, so no one else can see it.
That's all right. I wouldn't mind looking at that instead of your face.
Yeah,
I know. I was trying to decide because we were talking. Like he said, Nick's is 24. You know, how big would you like yours? And I was like, oh man, let me find a spot for it. And I didn't realize I didn't have any wall space. So, but I can hang it on the door. But I had to make it a little bit smaller. But I was thinking of, like you said, it was just offset a little bit, but of putting on a piece of walnut. But yeah, I would rather have something that would just be dark, like something to make it stand out and pop. I think lighting it from behind just subtly would be pretty awesome.
Yeah. I mean, I was even thinking if you do like a half inch, like circle, if you just did like a, you know, or just like a couple half inch standoffs on the back of it to where it stood off, and then you have that light coming in from behind. I think that would be really cool looking.
That really would. So, I'll wait to see what you do, and then I'll copy you.
And then do something completely different.
So did this guy really send me a DM, and I probably just didn't get it?
Yeah, it's because you have 99 plus DMs that you don't answer.
Man, I love how you reached the max. And went away.
Way more than that.
That's probably 9,999.
It's so many. It's pretty embarrassing, actually.
Instagram.
That's the sad part is I miss stuff. Like, and the problem is, and it's not that I don't like or appreciate that people do this, because I do like when people engage with stuff. But the problem is that I post a lot of like funny stuff in my stories, and then people will just send me like a message of like the laugh face or something like that, you know? But if I'm not following that person, or if I haven't interacted with that person, it goes to that separate little inbox. And then it just builds up. Like, sometimes, depending on the story, I'll get like 150 of those in a day.
Yeah.
And I don't have time to, I mean, I just, it got away from me at one point, and then I just have, I'm too far gone now. There's no way to catch back up. It's literally, I'm not joking, it's in the thousands and thousands of messages in there. I don't even.
Yeah. That's what I keep saying with my waist size. I'm just too far gone.
At some point, you just got to accept it.
Yeah.
You just have to embrace it and be like, this is who I am. I have thousands of unread messages, and there could be somebody in there that's like, hey, I had an extra 10,000 Bitcoin I wanted to give you.
You missed out, man.
I don't know,
man,
about it.
Yeah, you missed out.
I don't know. I'm not proud of it, and I feel bad. If you're listening and you've tried to send me a message in there and like a jerk, you think I just didn't respond. It's not that, I promise. Well, it is that. Let's be honest.
But yeah.
But there's a reason behind it. I'm lazy.
Well, you're not lazy enough to get our shirts out, because that's something else I got in the mail
this
week.
Oh, did you get
yours? Yeah, I got it today.
Oh, nice, nice.
Yeah, good. It was addressed to Mr. Clean.
Their shirts. Yeah. is your mic muted again, Keith?
Oh, gosh. Yes, it is.
There you go.
We're back. I was cracking open a nice cold seltzer, and I didn't want to hear you.
I could see you laughing,
noise.
But I couldn't tell if you were mime laughing.
It was like mime laughing.
Oh man, how long was this muted? I was saying so much. Oh man, I was firing off some gems there.
Oh, well. The best parts of the podcast. Did you get your shirt?
No, but I didn't check the mail today because it was 5 degrees out and minus 11 with the wind chill. So I stayed inside.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was like cold here today. Cool.
Yeah. No, I sent out all the ones that were on the list. We've got some new ones. So if you didn't get a shirt in this round, you'll get them in the next round here. If you're a top-tier patron. And if you want a shirt and you're not a top-tier patron, we'll bump up your patronage and you'll get a shirt.
Or message Jason. He'll
get that. Yeah, send him a DM.
You got 1,500 orders sitting in your DMs and we're like, what the heck?
You're sitting on a t-shirt.
The only way to get
one
of those shirts is you got to become a top-tier. That's the rules.
It's exclusive. It's an exclusive.
Yeah, and they're printed with my own hands, so if you smell them, they might smell like me. They might have some of my skin
cells.
Like
bourbon and burritos?
Yep, like bourbon and rice and egg burritos. So.
I can't tell you how bad I would love one of those burritos. I'm on like this special gluten-free, dairy-free, grain-free, sugar-free, nut-free, seed-free diet, and
that's like food-free.
It's killer. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, what are you eating?
Meat and sweet potatoes and avocados. Really?
Oh, I like that.
And coconut. Every coconut product that there's on the shelf, I'm eating it.
Yuck. I despise coconut.
Yeah, it's pretty polarizing little product.
I saw coconut-flavored cigarettes the other day. I should send you a pic.
What?
You said every coconut product.
Yeah, wow. I want to inhale it.
I was in the gas station. I was looking. It was funny because they had all these flavors of cigarettes. I was like, that's weird. Not that I bought them. I just was looking because they were back there and I was waiting for the lady to come to the counter. And they had like coconut and grape. It might have been cigars. I don't know. But then they also had these custom leather pouches you can put on your belt to hold your can of Copenhagen, which I've never seen before. So the tobacco industry is getting fancy up in here. That's all I'm saying.
Accessories.
Yeah. They're booming.
Yeah, they're trying everything. There's probably so many people that are realizing how bad that is, and they're quitting, that they're like, we got to do something to bring them back. I know.
Right. Guerrilla
custom
marketing.
Custom leather holder. That'll bring them back.
Personalized tobacco pouches.
Yeah.
That would get me.
Well, are you on a length of time for this diet, or are you just?
Well, it's just because I have like stomach issues for years that we haven't been able to figure out. So we're trying to narrow it down and then reintroduce these foods. But yeah, it's supposed to be for, I don't know, 6 to 8 weeks or something. But
man,
oh, and no coffee either.
Oh, what?
I couldn't do that.
Nope.
Well, I've been having some tea. Herbal teas are okay, but yeah, no coffee. That's and nothing that comes from a bean. So like chocolate.
I always thought
cacao
tea was just gonna taste like dirty water.
Kinda.
Yep. Yep.
That's why I put coconut milk in it.
You guys obviously don't watch Ted Lasso, huh?
No. I don't know who you're talking about.
I'm going to plug that show right now. Ted Lasso is the show on Apple Plus TV. It's flipping hilarious. It's one of my new favorite shows. There's only one season out right now. It's got the, it gives you the same kind of feeling as the like original Office episode. It's just really funny.
Okay.
If you think I'm going to pay more money for these damn networks, NBC Peacock and Discovery More and all these more content on these shows, not happening. I pay Netflix, and that's enough.
No, I'm like, only watching cable
access.
People
are just roping you in, and yeah, because you like commercials, but it's...
Yeah.
I can't believe, like, every network now, oh, if you want to see our really good content, you got to pay.
Well, see, I pay for all of them. Like, I actively search out the ones I'm not paying for, and I buy them, even if there's not shows on there I want, because it's like the original G.I. Joes. You got to collect them all.
Yeah, collect the whole set, I guess. I mean, there should be some
kind
of
opening
bundle.
Up the app thing on my TV, and I see like, look at all those beautiful badges. It's like merit badges. I'm like earning them by paying every
You're
month.
You're the Eagle
still.
Scout of media.
I just like options.
Yeah, but how many do you need? How much TV do you watch? You don't seem like a sit on the couch
yeah,
watch
how do you even
TV
have
kind
time?
Of guy to me.
I watch quite a bit of TV because when I finish working... Get the kid to bed, finish working. It's usually like 10 o'clock. And then I'll watch TV from 10 to usually 1:30 and then go to bed.
Shut up. Are you
okay. That's like two and a half hours every night. So that's a significant amount.
Wow.
So I do the same thing, except I substitute the TV for TikTok.
Oh. Yeah.
And this
well,
fewer ads.
I'm kind of a multitasker. The TV's on, but half the time I'm, you know, commenting back to people or liking things or
replying to their DMs.
You're definitely not replying to DMs.
You could be spending all that time replying to your DMs and get caught up in a week.
Okay, let's back up and talk about this in a little more depth because I still feel like people might just think I'm a jerk and not responding to these. But think about this. In order to feed the analytics and everything on Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, everything, they say that your engagement is super important, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I try to at least try and comment back to a lot of the people's comments on my Instagram posts or like them and do the same on YouTube and like and maybe comment back to those. That right there is more than I can keep up with. I can't do it.
Yeah.
All.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you add trying to go into the DMs and respond to everybody's DMs. I would literally spend all my time just doing that stuff. And then, I mean... That would solve the problem because I wouldn't do any more content and then I would stop getting all that. So
yeah.
You need to outsource it.
Just have somebody sit on the couch with their finger and just press the like double tap heart, double tap
or
heart.
Or just like, thanks. Yeah, just put a thanks question or exclamation point and, you know.
Well,
yeah.
And I genuinely feel bad about it because there is times that I'll like kind of scroll through there really quick and a DM will pop up and it's something like super heartfelt or, you know, someone's really... genuine and, you know, sending me a message or asking me a question and I feel bad that I can't get to all those.
Yeah.
I'm just not a good enough human.
You should outsource it, but outsource it to somebody that only speaks Spanish.
Just have them reply in a different language.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they'd be like, hola.
Gracias.
Hola.
Adios.
I think that would be ridiculous.
Tengo el gato en los pantalones, señor.
¿Dónde está la biblioteca?
I worked at Taco Bell in high school, so I know all my Spanish from working there. So I know like la crema, queso, tomatoes, carne.
Tortilla.
Yeah, all the ingredients to a taco I have down.
I would love to see a picture of you in your Taco Bell uniform.
Your little hat.
Were you on the drive-thru? You seem like a drive-thru
kind of
guy.
I was on the drive-thru, yeah. I was on the
drive-thru
and my My boss always got mad at me because I tried to like make the drive-thru experience more exciting. And so I'd like ad-lib a lot of these things. And yeah, I always got in trouble. Anyways.
Well.
So let's talk about some woodworking. I feel like gone down this crazy rabbit hole.
That's all right. Keith. This show's about nothing.
You've been working on this table?
Yeah, let's hear about this.
No, it's not the table? Oh, the walnut console table.
Yeah,
Delivered on Saturday with the marble top. Looked really nice. Was happy with it. So the YouTube video for that comes out tomorrow at the same time that this podcast will be released. And then I started on this white oak console. So this has been a week of white oak. Probably 2 months ago, maybe even longer. I found this source on Facebook Marketplace. This guy owns his own sawmill. He mills up walnut, white oak, cherry, hickory, all this stuff. And I got 100 board feet of white oak for $3 a board foot.
So, what?
Nice deal. So it's been sitting in my racks, lumber racks in my shop. So I took it down. I milled up a bunch of it. Spent, I don't know, 4 or 5
Where'd
hours
you get
milling
that?
It out.
It was you got
this guy in Pennsylvania. Yeah, I found him.
Paul Bennett.
that was so freaking smooth.
I'm just wondering. I mean,
you mean Terzo 073? That Paul Bennett?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
I was just curious.
He was all out. He only had red oak.
Oh man, Paul.
So I milled it all up.
Should have known better.
And I started looking at it, and I was like, man, that looks kind of pink, not red like red oak, but just pink. So I grabbed another piece of white oak that I had previous. I was like, uh-oh, this is pink. And I just, because I've been in printing for 20, 25 years, and the last 7 in cosmetics and dealing with women's faces and flesh tones. And like, so I'm like looking at color is like my thing. And I just knew that was pink. Like this ain't gonna fly. You could probably hide it maybe with a color, a Rubio color or something with a little mint green. I think you can put pre-color on and then whatever. But I was like, this just ain't gonna work. So there's a lumberyard in White Plains near me that's like 1 hour and 15 minutes away. So I called them. It's like, yeah, we have some that you need, but not a lot. But come on up and we'll make a deal with whatever we have. So I go up there and I start picking out pieces. And I'm glad I brought a sample piece with me because I'm like, this is all pink too. You know, maybe not to other people, but to something I'm trying to match. There were a couple pieces that weren't. So I'm like, I'll take these. So it was like $100. And then I went to another lumberyard. They didn't have what I needed. So then on Wednesday, made another trip to a different one. Now, this place had what I needed. And let me tell you something. This place, Monteith Lumber in Woodbridge, New Jersey, the guy's like, yeah, I only have this much on the shelf, but over there I got a giant pallet that I was just about to surface after lunch. So if you want to come on over with me, we can run these through the planer and you can see if there's something in there you like. It's like, okay. So he ran a bunch through and there were only like 2 pieces in this giant stack that were any good, really. And then I found 2 pieces on the rack.
You sound like one of those like annoying customers that everybody
hates. Oh, yeah. I know. I've become that. I'm just so, because I can't, like every time I see you, Jason, with like doing, or before when you were doing a lot of white oak work, like everything just looked, it had a little character, but the color was kind of consistent. It all just looked nice. And like, I just can't, I have a hard time finding that around here. And not to mention it's freaking $11 a board foot or $9 if you get
dude lumber prices are crazy right now.
Yeah, they are.
It's insane.
So I found what I needed and then started milling it up, and it was I bought 5/4, so there was room there. But so where I ran into an issue today, because my freaking joint, I have this hammer A331 joiner planer combo.
Oh yeah, yeah.
German machine. So the problem is it comes from the factory set up for a natural spring joint. Like somehow the beds are like arced. So you get a spring joint in this thing, and it can be fixed. I just haven't done it yet. And actually, Hammer is supposed to come to my shop and fix it for me.
But Hammer anyway, themselves running, is coming?
Yeah, the people from Felder down in Delaware. They're like 2 hours away.
Not like the whole company, just their rep.
The tech guy. Big old Hammer pulls into the driveway. So I'm running these 9-foot boards through across the joiner, which, by the way, my shop is 19 feet long, so... Or, 19 and a half. So it literally, from one side of the cutter head to the other, like it just barely makes it on each side until it hits the garage door or hits the wall behind me. So I'm running these through and I set up these skates and rollers so everything's nice and flat going across. And I put them down side by side. And the spring joint that it created over a 9-foot piece, it's more than an eighth of an inch in the middle, like when you put these things together.
Wow.
Which is doable, but I'm like, I can't. It's just so frustrating. So then, like, I can't even use my track saw because if, Jason, do you have the 8-foot track for the festival?
I have 2 8-foots, a 6-foot, and a 4-foot.
Are either of your 8-foot straight?
So I can make them longer. No, they're not. Like,
yeah, they'll have a hook in them. Everybody's does. So,
and especially like when I start hooking them together, then they're not straight. I mean,
yeah. So I can't even get a straight cut off of that. So finally, I just said screw it and glued the thing up for the carcass anyway. But so that's where I am with that thing. It was just a frustrating week. I didn't really get anywhere except for one glue up today at like 7:15 tonight. So that's it. That's my crying session. What about you, Nick?
No,
yeah, I want to hear about this hatchet we talked about last time, and you were super nervous about carving it out because you'd never done that before. But I've seen the pictures, and I hate doing this because I don't like giving you compliments, but it looked pretty darn good. I'm not gonna lie.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah. Well, he is a photographer.
Yeah. There's a lot to be hidden in Photoshop. I'm assuming you didn't watch my video then.
I didn't have time to watch it, Nick. I was literally dinner.
That's a good enough excuse. I just put it up like a couple hours ago. So
I thought you were just sending it to us.
It's unlisted. But by the time that everyone listens to this episode, it will be live.
It will be live.
So go check it out for sure. Yeah. But no,
what was the SEO on that, Nick, when you looked up hardcore skateboard hatchet? Was there a zero search results?
Yeah, number one.
Of course it was. Yeah. Optimized. Absolutely. Fully optimized.
No, I ended up renaming the title of it to like DIY hatchet handle broken skateboard or something like that. Mm-hmm. I mean, something a little bit more searchable, but.
Is this Kathy Bates approved from the movie Misery? Because it looks similar.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah.
If you hadn't got busted for the copyright, you could have done a great thing with your hatchet and Mel Gibson from The Patriot.
Yeah.
Handing it to him, then he's just going to town on those red.
That would have been amazing. You know, I still may do that. I'm still going to do that.
It's totally worth another strike.
Yeah.
Or Last of the Mohicans. No, no.
Well, it could be the hatchet scene in The Patriot is so horribly brutal.
It's nasty. Gruesome. It's gruesome. Oh, yeah. Well, what's funny is because you're talking about my copyright strike, and for everybody that's listening that doesn't understand, I got a DM from a just completely fake account that said I had a copyright strike and that my account will be deleted in 24 hours if I don't respond to this claim or whatever, and then they sent me a link, but the account is just bogus. I went to it. It's like Instagram copyright claims,
and none of your posts had been like taken down.
No.
Yeah.
It's
you totally got to do the Patriots.
Yeah, I'm totally doing it. I'm just gonna hand Mel my hatchet and let him have it, but. No, I got it finished. I shaped it all up last Sunday and got it finished. And I've been like waiting for, I guess, decent weather to go outside and like chop some wood up. And a neighbor of mine had two trees taken down. He had an ash tree and a hickory tree that were, I guess they were diseased or something. I don't know what was wrong with them, but he had some fly-by-night dudes come by and chop down these two trees and leave these huge piles of logs in his front yard. So I just went over there one day and was like, hey, can I have some of this and this and this? And he's like, well, I'll take whatever you want. Like literally like fly-by-night guys that just knocked on his door and were like, hey, these trees look like they need to come down. We'll take them down for $1,500. And he's like, yeah, cut them down. Because he already knew they had to come down anyways, but.
Okay.
So I took these little pieces of hickory in my backyard, and today I went out there and you know, shot my ending scenes of being stupid out in the backyard, just cutting up with a hatchet and stuff. But I didn't realize how hard hickory is. Hickory's freaking hard, man.
And like my little hatchet.
Yeah, I was like trying to hack at it, and I was like, okay, this looks stupid because
you should be happy the handle didn't break.
Right. Well, yeah. I was kind of being like ginger with it to start because I didn't want it to break off because that would be just
that would have been a hilarious ending. Oh
my God. It could have been if I was yeah
kind of like I was kind of hoping for my boat to sink just because it would have been hilarious, but
yeah, but. No, it so like a couple of days ago, it snowed like 3 inches here, and I was like, "Well, crap, I can't film in the snow. Like, it's just gonna be white everything and hard to film." And today, I was just like, "You know what? I'm just gonna do it." So I just went in the backyard, snow and all, and just went at it and started hacking up that hickory. And it looks funny because even my wife was like, "Did it really cut that wood?" Like. It doesn't look like you're really doing much damage. I was like, I wasn't because that wood is freaking hard. Yeah. I mean, and it was just cut down. So it's wet and green as can be. And like, I barely was like just skinning the bark off it, but it was a lot of fun and I got it done. And I love that hatchet. It looks just killer.
Yeah. It looks really sweet.
I don't
what
even
was it
care.
Like shaping that skateboard? Did it feel any different or did yes. it just feel like, hey, it's just wood? I mean, most of that's maple, right?
Yeah, most of it's maple, I think. Like I practiced on a piece of ash because I figured that would kind of be similar, and it just that shaping disc from Cutsall just mows through wood. Like I got the extreme because I thought that would be fast. And man, is it fast. Like it just chews through wood and it makes a huge mess.
Would it take you like a minute and a half to shape that handle?
Less than that, probably. Like I was seriously done. I think I got maybe like 3 shots. I was like, crap, I'm done. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know what I'm going to do because I need more footage. So then it was like all rasp after that really define the shape of the handle, you know, get that good round over and feel of your hand and whatnot. But like, it didn't take any time with that Cutsall, man. It was spinning
and
up.
And then how do you, I've always been curious about this. Like, I mean, so many people make mallets and, you know, hammer handles and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Do you have to, you insert it into the hatchet head, then do you have to put a wedge in through the top to like hold it in there?
Yeah. So I read all over the place that you want to, obviously you want to wedge it to where it, you know, forces your handle to the sides and it, you know, you get that really hard friction fit. And I read a couple places that were like, there's no need for glue on these things. And some people were like, glue it. And I was like, I don't see myself using this like, like as an actual hatchet. Like I'm going to use it for the video sake. And then I'm going to put it on my wall
pretty
much, right?
It's more of like a display piece. Yeah.
So I didn't glue it, but I just used a really nice piece of walnut and wedged the top, and it is super tight.
Like, yeah, walnut and skateboard. That's what I would have chose. That's a good contrast.
That's a great combo. Well,
it looks good because the way the grain runs, it's all horizontal across the top of the axe head or hatchet head, and then the walnut runs right down the middle. And I went with a little bit thicker, so it looks, I think it looks really good. And it's tight as can be, because I hammered on it real hard outside today, and the head didn't move at all. So
hardcore, man.
It's good. Yeah, I know. It's a hardcore hammer.
Hardcore. What did you put on the handle for a finish? Because you got to make sure that's not too slippery, right? You don't need that going flying out of your hand.
No, yeah. I used Odie's oil.
Stick them.
Does Odie know that you took his oil?
No, he doesn't have any idea.
Okay.
I was pretty sneaky. Yeah. I crept in the cover of night.
In the dead of night.
Yep. And no, I just did one cover or one coat of Odie's and just, you know, rubbed it in. I didn't even use as much as I would normally use on a piece because, like you said, I didn't want it to be slippery. because right. the last thing you want is oh my hatchet gosh. To slide out of your hand into your shin
during the backstroke and then whatever oh, yeah. goes flying behind you, takes out the mailman.
yeah. Woo. But no, it was good. It made that those all those different colors really pop. So it's really cool looking. And the way that Ben, because I got the skateboard blank from Ben over at Wobie Design, the way he glued it up is the tail of my handle is the nose or tail of a skateboard, so that it's got that already curved.
Section. That's cool. So it kind of mimics.
Handle already. So all those lines go with it. So it's really cool looking.
Some trucks and wheels on this thing and ride it down the street.
Some kickflips,
some tricks, oh, yeah. some
hatchet kickflips.
right.
See nice. If you can circumcise yourself.
Dude, I'll Again. Tell you what, though. No, it is a sharp axe. They asked me when they were going to send it out. He was like, do you want it pre-sharpened or do you want to put an edge on it? I was like, I don't have anything that will be able to put a good edge on it. Just go ahead and send it sharpened. And they send it sharp. Because after I got it off of the original handle, because they sent it as a complete hatchet, I took it off and I was tracing where the new handle was going to go. And as I was putting that head back, I was going to put it in the sheath and I slipped and I dropped it on top of my palm or top of my hand. And there's a line straight where that blade hit the top of my hand. Cause just cut me and it wasn't any pressure or anything. It's just where it landed on my hand. I was like, holy crap, this is sharp. So then I didn't take it out of the sheath at all after that.
Well, you're lucky it didn't just, you know, go right through your hand.
Right.
Yeah. Over your tendons, your bones.
Yeah.
It's not a saw stop, man. You gotta be careful with
it. Yeah,
it
was no saw stop.
Speaking of saw stop, I got my saw stop today.
Oh, the 5 horsepower rolled in.
Now, here's the question. Maybe we should have people place bets on how long it will sit in my garage in boxes on the pallet before it actually goes into my shop and gets set up.
Well, let me tell you this.
Just to give you some background.
Take long.
I bought my wife a brand new computer for her studio and promised to set it up for her at least 8 months ago, and it's still sitting in the box in her studio.
Oh my
no
gosh.
No way. Outsource that. Call up Geek Squad or whatever.
I'm just really bad at that. It's just like I'm just going from like one thing to the next and taking time to like, now I got to assemble this thing. Because I can't just assemble it. I'm going to have to assemble it. I'm going to have to build. What I'm going to have to do is like put a video on the calendar for doing an outfeed table, and then I'll just do it all at that time.
Do it all together.
Yeah.
Well, KJ, you know all there is to know about putting a new saw stop together. It's really easy, isn't it?
It's so easy, but I actually had a problem with my saw stop. Yeah, it is. It took me to assemble. I mean, everything is labeled and color-coded, and the instructions. The manual is, like, ridiculously easy. And it's, you know, written in comp... What's the word?
Understandable.
English that you can understand. Yeah, I can't speak it, but I can read.
Comprehensible.
Yeah.
Comprehensible.
Yeah, it's something weird with my saw. I was trimming a piece of that white oak today, just taking off like an eighth of an inch, like going, I'm halfway through the board, and it just stalled out, just stopped. Like, that doesn't happen with a 3 horsepower. It happens with like a 1 horsepower job site or something.
Yeah.
Oh, it happens
and then
with
I
mine
couldn't get
time,
it to go back
you.
On. Now, the porter cable?
Well, did you trip the little breaker in there? I mean, my Grizzly's got that where it'll stop itself and then you got to wait a few minutes and then it'll turn back on.
Like a thermal
heat
thing?
Yeah, but then like it's got a red and green button or red and green light and they were both flashing like really fast. I'm like, great. Now I got to dig out the manual. So I put out the manual. It's like, you may have a bad cartridge or you may have this or that. I'm like, God, jeez. Luckily I had a spare cartridge. I popped that in, but that didn't do anything. And then I just unplugged everything, clipped the breaker and then turned everything back on and it worked, but I don't know. I'd like it certainly wasn't like the saw wasn't bogging down or binding anything. It just stopped.
It just quit.
Just quit
I
on
had
me.
A problem. I have a Powermatic it's a 4422 open-ended drum sander. And I hardly ever use it. But when I need to use it, it's great. It works wonderfully. But it's got like the digital read on the side of it. And one night I used it and I forgot to turn it off. So I left it on all night, which shouldn't be a problem. But I came in the next morning and it was flashing, like it said that the belt was still spinning, but it wasn't. And so now I can't get that flashing to go away and it won't work. It's got like some error thing on it. And so I'm going to have to call Powermatic and figure it out. I just don't use it that often, so it's been like this for probably a month. I just need to call and figure it out. But right now, it's just
unplugged. I've unplugged
it. I've plugged it back in. I don't know what's wrong with it.
Did you wait long enough when you unplugged it?
Yeah.
60 seconds?
It's actually been unplugged for weeks now. So,
yeah, that's so maybe you should try it.
I guess maybe I should try one more time and plug it back in and see if it works again. I don't know. I even looked up, like, there's a reset button where you, like, hold down two buttons at the same time. It's supposed to reset it. I did that. I don't know.
Like your iPhone?
Thinking there's probably some internal thing I gotta like unplug and plug back in. I don't know. But
all right. Anyways. Well, how about this a little more insight into your boat launch? Now I know after how long did you work on that? You started in like October?
Well, yeah, I started October 26th. Looking at Instagram, that was the first day I did a post. So that's when I'm going to say I started, when I was started hooking the plywood together and making my longer sheets. And then, it was done basically 3 months to the day on January 26th. But to be fair, it didn't take 3 months to build because I basically worked on it a week, then didn't work on it because I was going boat video, different video, back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
So originally I said I thought I could do it in 6 weeks. If you divide 3 months by two, I think I pretty much did it in 6 weeks.
All right. That's
of actual time working on it.
How long does it take that river Dory's guy near you to build one of those?
He can do it in under 100 hours, he said. Could do a full one.
Is that a week?
Dining room table in that.
Yeah, but I mean, like, this is what he does, right? I mean, he's got it set up. He's probably listening to this. He listens to the podcast. Hey, Dave. And he's probably like, yeah, I can do it in under 100 hours. Cool. But I mean, he's set up to do this. So he's got like jigs for duplicating the ribs quickly and easily. I mean, he's got everything marked out and all his measurements. So he's not having to like think through or figuring anything out as he does it. He just knows what to do and he does it, which is completely different than like my case where everything's brand new. You're having to learn everything for the first time. You're having to decipher the plans and try and figure out what they're actually telling you. I wasn't going to spend a lot of time making all these jigs because, you know, I only had to do it once. So obviously it's going to take longer. But yeah.
Wow. So
I bet I'm at least at, I don't know if I'm at 200 hours on mine. Maybe just under, I don't know. But I was super slow poked it, so. Yeah.
Well, yeah, it's one of those things, like you said, that you just, it becomes a part of you. Like, you wake up, you go to bed, just in your head all the time, and now it's over, so it's like a little postpartum there.
I know, it's weird. And it's weird because it's like, it's taken up so much room in my shop. It's just, it's been the thing that's on my mind. Yeah, I mean, I do go to bed at night, like, and think about it and like trying to figure out, okay, I know this is what's next. How am I going to actually do this and accomplish this and just try and think through all that? And it's so weird when you work on a project for that long, because this is by far the longest I've ever spent on one project.
Yeah.
And you get to this point where it's like, man, I'm done. Like,
yeah,
there's just nothing left to do.
You gotta put a second level on it.
It's kind of this abrupt, like, well, I can't believe it. It's over. It's done. And then putting it in the river was kind of bittersweet because, I mean, as much as I was excited to have it done and now I have this boat that I can use, I mean, I was having a lot of fun building it and now it's over. But
what it's like those people that make their lifelong project, their entertainment center and stuff in their house with the sound system and the home theater, just like their ongoing project. And then when it's over, it's like, oh, now I can watch a movie, but I want to I want to add another subwoofer over here, vibrating chairs over here.
I mean, and it would be easy to do that with a boat. You can always tweak things or add things to it, and I'm sure I'll... I mean, maintenance is going to be an ongoing thing, obviously, with a wooden boat, but...
Outsource it.
It's also... I think it's different because I've been literally... Before I was even a woodworker, I've had this, like, thought or dream of, like, man, it'd be awesome to build your own boat. And so to think about it for literally like years and years and years and then finally be done, it's, I guess I'll have to build another one. I don't know.
I think so.
But man, that thing, it floats amazingly. I mean, it is so buoyant. The rumor is, and what I've heard is that they're supposed to be able to go in like 4 inches or less of water. And I don't doubt it, because when I was in that, the water was barely coming up over the top of the bottom little chine batten, which is only about, I don't know, an inch and a quarter.
Wow.
That it was sinking into the water when I was in it, and that's fully loaded with seats and everything. I'm sure if I had a couple other people, it'd be a little lower, but I mean, it's just gliding on top of the water. And because it's got the curved bottom, you can back paddle. And even the river was moving pretty swift when I was in it, but it was super easy just to sit in one spot against current, just back paddling. Because you're just kind of hovering there. I really got to hone my paddling skills. That's going to take a while. I want to do that a little bit before I take down, you know, go down something with more rapids and rocks and obstacles. But
right.
Can you see very well over the front of the...
Yeah, it's not bad. I mean, you can't see like directly in front of the boat.
Yeah.
But out, I don't know, 7 or 8 feet maybe.
Yeah, I just wonder because the way that bow comes up so far, it seems like it would obstruct your view pretty good, but.
Yeah, no, it's not bad at all.
Huh. It's nice.
So I survived. It didn't leak.
You use Flex Seal?
No.
Okay.
Everyone's joking about Flex Seal. I mean, I didn't use Flex Seal, but I used a product that's probably pretty similar to it. It doesn't come in an aerosol can, but it's a two-part epoxy that you mix up, and it's got some flex to it, and it seals the bottom. I mean,
there you go. Probably, it's right in the name.
It's probably somewhat close to that product. So, but I cannot stress this enough. If you've ever dreamed or thought about building a boat and you think, hey, there's no way I can do this or accomplish it, just do it. It might take you a long time, but man, there is nothing that I've experienced to date in the building world that has been more rewarding than that project. It was awesome.
Yeah, it was fun to follow along for sure.
Yeah, it turned out amazing, man. Hats off.
Brother.
Hats off.
Thanks, man. Yeah, I'm super, super stoked with it. So now I gotta think of something else. I want to do another big... It's funny because when I started this, I was like, I'm not doing a long multiple series project like this again. But the response I got from YouTube, people really got into it and really enjoyed like the multiple series and were like hounding me like, when's the next one coming out? I can't wait for the next one, you know?
Yeah.
So it almost has made me think like, man, maybe there's something to this, like, you know, getting people hooked on the first one and then kind of reeling them in over the course of a couple of other videos. So I might have to think of some other long projects here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, especially since you release them like so close to each other, it's like just like waiting for a TV show the next week.
Yeah.
You know, it's not.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Not like they're waiting a year. Like. I know.
Nobody does that anymore.
Just binge everything.
Yeah, exactly. I'm to the point where, like, if there's a show that's coming out and there's, like, multiple episodes and they're coming out spaced, I won't watch the show until they're all out.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Because I don't want to have to wait. I'll just wait till it's all out and then I can watch them all at once.
Right. I did that with The Last Dance, the Michael Jordan thing. That is. Yeah. I'm not going to watch this until it's completely out and done and ready, and then I will sit down and just kill it.
I did that with The Mandalorian this last time.
Oh.
Which stunk because, I mean, so many people were watching that and talking about it, so I had to, like, plug my ears all the time. Because, like, no, don't tell me. I don't want to know.
Right, right.
Which is funny because I'm not even that big of a Star Wars person, but there's something about that Mandalorian. It's like you're watching a Western. It's just fun to watch.
Yeah, the cinematography and storyline is just so good.
The music and, everything's just good in that.
It's amazing. Plus, they use some crazy tech on that with the LED wall that they filmed with. Did you realize that they hardly used any green screen with that production? That most of it was all computer generated graphics on an LED wall that was like 360 degrees around the set.
Oh my god!
Really?
Yeah. So when the camera moved, the LED wall would mimic where the camera was going, so it looked as if everything was the right perspective. Like it's insane technology.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Nuts. But
oh, Nick, forgot to ask, what's your next project?
So, circling back to my little coffee table, I got to give you props, Morsels. The legs are a little wobbly.
Oh, man.
So, you know, it's not that bad. But however, my kids accentuate it really bad.
Okay.
So when I delivered it, I took it to my parents' house and dropped it off, and it looks amazing in their house. It fit in perfectly in their room. But as soon as my kids started like leaning on it, I was like,
yeah,
get off the table. So my parents' original wish of getting a bottom shelf is going to become a reality.
Okay.
So I'm going to put some stretchers across the legs at the bottom and put a shelf
down there. How
are you
going to add them in at this point? Are you going to half lap them in?
No, I think I'm just going to do pocket screws from the top side and just call it a day.
And then cover it with the
shelf.
And
then cover it with the shelf.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't think I can fit my domino in that space. I don't think the way that how close the legs are together that the domino will fit, that so I could actually cut a domino. So pretty much my only option is either to, you know, hack apart the base and then domino everything back together, or just pocket
hole
and cover.
What if you just spitball in here?
Yeah.
What if you did domino it in there? Because I just hate pocket screws. So I'm
right.
trying to think other
I
ways
do
to do it. What if you do domino it? Okay.
Okay.
But you domino it on each end, and then you half lap a joint in the middle of the stretcher, and you don't glue it up until you seat those dominoes and then glue the center stretcher at the same time.
I'm so lost. Like I'm asking
Siri.
I'm
lost
for
on how you
here.
Could even get dominoes in there. If, like, you'd have to like pry the legs way apart to get a. You're talking about dominoing
the legs?
No.
Like I'm talking about your middle stretcher that you're going to fit in there.
Yeah.
You don't
yeah.
have a one solid piece. You have a seam in the middle.
Okay.
That's like a really long half lap.
Oh, okay. I see what he's saying.
And so then you can stick in one side, okay. stick in the other side, and then glue the half lap together in the middle, which I don't think if you're using the same kind of wood, I think it would blend nicely. I don't think it would look that bad. Or yeah. you could do a long scarf, honestly. I learned about scarves with the boat.
Oh, yeah. I could do a long,
do a scarf,
long scarf.
That would be almost not noticeable. And then you could glue it up after the dominoes are in there, pinch it together, let the glue set, and then sand and shape. And then essentially, you've got it mortised in with the dominoes,
sure.
no pocket screws. It's yeah. locked in, good to go.
All right, but you don't have any bottom stretchers right now.
No, nothing.
So you need to put stretchers in, and then the shelf's going to sit on top of those?
Yeah, so yeah. I'll just put two stretchers.
That's what we're talking
the legs.
About.
Right. Yeah, but how are you going to get... no, I'm trying to figure out how you're going to get those stretchers in there.
Well, what
That's
I
what
thought...
I'm talking about, Keith. Are you not
Dude?
Listening to me?
What I said... I was going to cut those stretchers to length so that they would span between the legs and just pocket hole on the top side.
Yeah, but you've come so far
I
with
know,
your
that's what I
bridle
don't
joints
want to
and
do.
Everything.
I don't want
don't
to
put
do
the
that.
Pocket screws in now. I'm telling you, do the dominoes.
But how do I get the dominoes cut?
You can get them on there.
How?
You
can, how?
Is the legs rounded over? Is that what you're worried about? Or?
No. How do I get my actual domino cutter
the width
into the legs on the inside?
You don't
what
think
is
it'll
that like 12 inches?
No, I don't think it'll fit. It's too tight.
That's
my hang up. Yeah.
Okay. Dowling jig.
that's what I'm thinking next, because I can even make a really crappy doweling jig to fit in there, even if I have to do like a right angle drill attachment. It doesn't have to be much, because I'm only using 3/4 inch material on the leg, so I could go in like, you know, 1/2 inch in, and I'm good. I might actually do that.
Yeah.
I'm going to write that down just so I don't forget.
There you dowling go. Jig. That's what I would do. I mean, that is a domino. It's just different.
So, yeah, just different shape.
I put 2 dowels in the end of it for sure. But then you'd still have to do a seam in the middle of that stretcher. But I think you could do that. Especially if you're putting a shelf on it, you're not going to see it.
Right, you wouldn't see it. It would be completely hidden. Yeah.
Keith looks so confused.
No, I'm not confused. I'm just trying to think of a different way. That's all. I'm looking at his the picture of it now in his feed.
Yeah.
So the only other thing I could think to do is to do a half lap.
Okay.
But you'd basically have to, because you rounded over those legs, right?
Yeah, I did.
So you'd have to go cut it deep enough that it goes below the round over, but then stick up above the round over, so you'd still have some material to shave down and shape to meet that round over, basically.
Yeah.
But if you did a half lap, then you could cut your laps on both legs, probably on the table saw with a dado stack. I mean, it'd be a little awkward, but I bet you could do it. And then set your stretcher in there.
Yeah.
Glue it. Then maybe like hand plane it down so it's pretty flush with the round over height, and then round over your whole stretcher to match it.
Right. That's doable.
How long is this table, Nick? Like 4 feet or 48 inches?
No.
And I'm actually a huge fan of the way that half laps look once they're set in place and then rounded over with the end grain sticking out on the sides. I just think it looks really cool because it makes it look like way more complex joinery than it actually is.
Right. Mm.
That's what I did in that that pool furniture coffee table base.
Oh, yeah.
With all the stretchers, they were half lapped into like the side pieces. But then once you hit them with the round over, it just looks like, I don't know, it looks more complicated than it is when it's just a half lap.
Right.
It's like, how did he do that with 2 round pieces?
Yeah, but it looks, I don't know, I think it makes it look pretty fancy.
Sure.
So.
No, I'll probably just end up pocket holing this stupid thing.
All your suggestions are great, but in the interest of time.
Right. I got to get it done.
Pocket hole. I mean, you could do a whole, you realize you could get a whole nother YouTube video out of this. How to add stretchers to an existing coffee table. You could do this whole thing.
How to improve your coffee table.
Add a shelf without pocket screws.
If you want to just add pocket holes, that's fine.
That'll be a video too, though.
The funny thing is, as much as I hate pocket screws, if you're going to put a shelf and cover them up, it would look absolutely no different than if you dominoed or doweled them in there.
Yeah, it really wouldn't. And the thing that would concern me, you know, like wood movement and stuff like that, I don't think I would have that much to worry about with how much material I'd be putting as a stretcher. Like, I'm going to do like the most minute.
And even with the stretcher, I think those legs would be able to flex enough that I don't think wood movement would be that big an issue down there.
No. Right. But then I will be trying to match that under bevel for the shelf a little bit. I probably won't go as drastic as the top, but I'll need to kind of match it to where, so it, you know, doesn't look like who put this board underneath this table.
Slap this plank.
Here's another idea. This just came to me. What if the stretcher was a round stock piece?
Ooh. Like a dowel and all the way through the legs?
Uh-huh. And you just did a through dowel and had exposed on both sides. You put a little wedge in the end of it or whatever.
That would actually look pretty freaking cool.
And that would be pretty easy to do because you're really just drilling a hole in both of those legs and sending a piece of round stock all the way through.
Yeah.
Then you could wedge
it. You're a freaking genius.
Yeah. And then put a wedge in it and make it like, you know, an accent to the piece.
Oh, yeah. I could even make a dowel out of the same material.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And then you could even on the bottom of the shelf, you could carve in a little, you know, little bit of a radius of the round stock so that the shelf just sits down
right
onto that round stock, which would be really cool.
Yeah. Ooh. I'm gonna write that down too.
Yeah. See, this is what happens. Ooh. We can collaborate and we figure it out.
I'm still gonna pocket hole it.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Now, are you gonna run a long stretcher from those two end stretchers?
No. No. Okay.
I mean, probably the chef, not. Are you gonna, if you're gonna hook the shelf to the stretchers, that should basically act like that.
Right. It should. I mean, the shelf will
just
be.
Just keeps it from sagging.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think.
Because if
the
they're
going
to put magazines and stuff on that, that thing's
going to
be just.
Well, for how big that coffee table is, I don't think I should run into any issues with sag on the bottom shelf.
Mm.
Okay.
Your parents are getting
Project
older.
Project video
and
number
thing
three.
I know
adding,
about
adding
old
a long
women,
stretcher.
Like
how to get rid of sag.
See, your job security right here.
Yeah, this is just my ongoing YouTube videos. It's no
I
big
would
deal.
Enter that into the sagulator to see how long, because that's, I think, longer.
Michael,
that's an actual calculator.
Michael Olson has a sagulator. He was telling me about
Does
it.
Does he really?
Yeah, yeah, he got it from Alex Johnson, but anyways.
Those guys are always cooking up something.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
No, but once I do actually add that shelf, my parents want me to make them two side tables to go on either side of their couch to match. So I'll be doing kind of similar thing. No drawers, but I will add a bottom shelf to those side tables. So it kind of makes sense to add a bottom shelf to the coffee table. So it, you know, everything is all together, similar and whatnot. But I've got more than enough white oak left over from my initial purchase that two more side tables and the shelf for the coffee table, not a problem. So I'll be getting started on that probably not this weekend. I think I'm going to take this weekend completely off and not do anything in the shop, just do nothing,
just chillax.
I don't want to do anything. Just I'll post my video tomorrow morning.
This got to be lazy like MJ. You know what I'm saying?
MJ lazy.
MJ Prohorov.
That's right. Pioneer Homes.
Yeah.
But that's what I got on the docket next.
All right.
Yep.
Well.
Have we fulfilled our contract?
Should we call it quits? Should we go to the after show with our buddies Tyson and Nick Leonard?
Oh,
Tyson
yeah.
from Bird Dog Woodworks and Stated Woods Co. They'll be there because they're top tier patrons. So I'm just saying.
They'll be there.
Yeah.
I think we
should
do
it. Maybe we should head that direction. All right.
I think we shall.
Well, we want to thank everybody for listening to episode 19 of Shop Sounds Podcast. If you want to go check out the after show, then go over to our Patreon at patreon.com/shopsoundspodcast and sign up. Any level you sign up for, you're going to get access to the after show. But if you want one of those sweet t-shirts that we talked about, you're going to have to bump it up to the top tier. And I personally will hand print it with my own two hands.
Bare hands.
I have
burrito stained hands.
Burrito. Yep. They might smell like bourbon and burritos.
Yeah, you're rubbing hot sauce in your eye right now. You're scratching your eyes.
And you know, I actually really hurt my eye this morning because I trimmed my beard. And I don't know if you guys ever experienced, well, Keith obviously has never experienced this. But I trimmed my mustache and sometimes like the hairs just are flying up and one shot right into my eye.
Mine eye!
Anyways, with that, we're going to head to the after show.
After show. All
right, that sounds good. I'll see you guys over there.
Yeah.
Okay.
See you guys.
Right. See ya.
I love you.